The scripture for today is Old Testament, Isaiah 25, 6 to 10. And it's all about banquets and food again, because this is Communion Sunday. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-matured wines. The rich food will be filled with marrow, right? Of well-matured wines that are strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all people, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death as ever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears up from all faces. And the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God that we have waited for him, so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation, for the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain. Thank you for the word of the Lord.
I want to say, before I start, it's so special to have two special mission giving opportunities this morning, the crop walk and the peacemaking offering, and thank Bob and Gary for promoting both of those. If you can give to both, that's great. If only one, that's good. And if you can't give to either, please pray for both ministries. Appreciate that. Let us pray. Lord God, as we ponder the scripture read this morning, we ask for the help of your Holy Spirit to come and work amongst us and within me as we reflect upon these words this morning, so that we might come to understand them and grow in faith through them. Amen. John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church. And there's a story told about him, about a dream he once had. And in this dream, Wesley was transported to the gates of hell. And there he asked, are there any Presbyterians here? And a voice replied, yes. And then Wesley asked again, are there any Roman Catholics here? And yes was the reply. Any Congregationalists? Again, yes. He hesitated, and then he said, not any Methodists, I hope. But to his dismay, the answer was yes. And then suddenly, in that same dream, Wesley stood at the gates of heaven. And once again, he asked, are there any Presbyterians here? And the answer came back, no. And are there any Roman Catholics here? The answer was no. Any Congregationalists? No. And then Wesley asked the question that most interested him, are there any Methodists here? And he was shocked to receive the stern reply, no. Well then, he asked in surprise, please tell me, who is in heaven? Christians, was the jubilant reply. On this Sunday, the Methodists and the Congregationalists and Roman Catholics and Presbyterians and Free Churchers and non-denominationalists gather around Christ's table to proclaim that we are all Christian. And in so doing, fulfill, at least for a day, Wesley's vision of heaven here on earth. Today we are celebrating the Lord's Supper, like we do on the first Sunday of every month. But on this particular Sunday, the first Sunday in October, we join in celebrating the sacrament with Christians of every stripe in every corner of the world. World Communion Sunday, however, is actually a gift of the Presbyterians to the larger church. It was first celebrated at Shadyside Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh in 1933. It grew out of a division of their stewardship commission at Shadyside. It was their attempt to bring churches together in a service of Christian unity in which everyone might receive both inspiration and information, and above all, know how important the Church of Jesus Christ is and how each congregation is interconnected with one another. The pastor of the church at that time was the Reverend Hugh Kerr, and his son, Donald, described those early days. The concept spread very slowly at the start. People did not give it a whole lot of thought. It was during the Second World War that the spirit caught hold because we were trying to hold the world together. Worldwide communion symbolized an effort to hold things together in a spiritual sense. It emphasized that we are one in the Spirit and in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Kerr's words seem to speak to our world even today, maybe especially today. We live in a fractured and fracturing world, and we serve in a fractured and fracturing church. And we need something that will hold us all together. Worldwide communion may just be that spiritual glue that holds both the church and the world together. And perhaps the communion table is one of the best places to do just that. Christian author Harry Jones writes, "Sharing tables is one of the most uniquely human things we do. No other creature consumes food at a table. And sharing tables with other peoples remind us that there is more to food than fuel. We don't eat only for sustenance." And I think he's right. We don't. We eat for all sorts of reasons. We eat to celebrate birthdays and anniversaries. We have dinner with friends to build that friendship. We take our dates to dinner to establish a relationship. Business deals are conducted at restaurant tables. We cheer our teams from folding tables behind tailgate grills. All sorts of community activities are centered around tables, both in the larger community and within the church. Right, Sharon? Who sets many of the tables here. The meal is one of the most important places of human connection. We are most fully alive when sharing a meal around a table. And therefore, we shouldn't be surprised that throughout the Bible, God has a way of showing up at tables. Our passage this morning from Isaiah is one of those passages. The verses that we read this morning come after a whole chapter that spoke of the worldwide destruction that would come because of human sin. And then we read that out of that destruction will come redemption. And that redemption will feature the world gathering at God's table for a feast beyond description. Meals were just as common in the New Testament, from Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners to his feeding of the 5,000. We read that Jesus used meals as a way to connect with the people. New Testament scholar N.T. Wright captured this aspect of Jesus' ministry when he wrote, "When Jesus wanted to explain to his disciples what his forthcoming death was all about, he didn't give them a theory, he gave them a meal." A meal, not arguments of theology. Jesus was telling us that our relationships are to overcome our differences in thought and doctrine, that we need to be connected to one another to be the body of Christ. World Communion Sunday is one time that we symbolically enact that commitment, that connection over a meal. The brokenness of our world comes to us each night in the evening news, each day across our social media feeds. We see destruction from natural disasters such as we see in Florida and Cuba recently. We see destruction from human disasters such as the war in Ukraine or the shootings in Columbus. People are at each other's throats, figuratively and sometimes literally. Neighbors fight with neighbors. Church members turn their back on church members. The whole world seems unable to get along. And yet, when we approach this table, we are reminded that God cares for each and every one of us. We are welcome to the spiritual feast just as we are, with our talents and our flaws, with all of our struggles as well as all of our joys. When we come to this table on this Sunday, we join not only with each other here, but with our brothers and sisters around the world and our brothers and sisters right down the street. Brothers and sisters who are struggling just like we are. They are our friends and they are our strangers. And we are all celebrating the oneness in the body of Christ just like we are. People who are in need of being bathed in God's grace, just like we are. People who desire to see God's reign of peace and justice on this earth. In a sense, we are enacting what Isaiah saw in our passage this morning. Isaiah described that when God's reign happens, he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people will be taken away from all the earth. When this great moment comes, there will be a feast beyond all feasts. On that day, all that is wrong will be made right, all that is broken will be made whole, and there is going to be an extravagant meal to celebrate. In her book, Making Room, Recovering Hospitality as a Christian Tradition, theologian Christine Pohl observed, "A shared meal is the activity most closely tied with the reality of God's kingdom, just as it is the most basic expression of hospitality." And so we are invited to gather around this table to share this meal with Presbyterians, Catholics, Congregationalists, Methodists, and every other gathering of Christians, just as we do. And maybe in so doing, we'll catch a glimpse of that heavenly banquet that Isaiah envisioned. Maybe, just maybe, the shroud that is cast over our world will be lifted just a bit, just for a moment. But in that moment, our world will begin to heal. We can begin to heal. Amen.